None of that.
None of that.
What is up, dudes and dudettes and all the beautiful people of the interwebs? You know what time it is. It is Saturday. So it's time to go beyond. So welcome to the Smash, to the Smash podcast. Man, we got some real good topics here today, and I'm excited. And I'm sorry about last week. Some things came up, but, you know, we're back. We're in it, so we're excited, man. And today we got a very special guest who's been wanting to because he wants to rave with the rest of us Hero Aka lovers over here.
Yes, sir.
Let's go ahead and get into these introductions. So first up, as always, your usual suspects on the panel are resident Spartan, Mr. El Master himself. What's up, Neath the Lees?
What's going on, guys? I hope I can stay throughout the whole live stream because I don't know if any of you caught last night, but I had some asthmatic internet and my personal live stream did not fare well. So let's hope I can stay in this one.
Yeah, man. I was trying to watch that and I was just seeing it hiccup like 24/7. I was feeling bad for you, bro.
That shit gave me some fucking PTSD.
Hey, man, we'll just put that on the blooper reel. That's all.
Yep. The lost tape.
Yeah, save it on the tapes.
Yeah, save it for the tapes. Next up, we got the man who's super. He ain't no regular letter. It's Mr. Super G himself.
Crickets.
All right.
I had that asthmatic.
You gave that asthma to G now.
He's passing along. And I was talking about I'm just happy to be back, man. In a minute. So
already.
Topic's going. Let's do it.
All right. Last up, we got the man with no plan, Mr. Operation.
What's up, y'all? Good to be here. If you hear something in the background, that's just a car. So,
This man's always going on the move, so he's keeping us going with him.
Look, man, that's a tradition for this show. There's always someone on the move, someone at work. It's just what it is.
Hey, man.
We don't got Soul King, so Op got filled in that seat.
Yeah, right? Well, he's going to come in late, so we know that someone is always on the move or hustling while they hustle, so we just do what we do. And last but not least, our very special super guest right here, the Nintendo himself.
Yes, sir.
The Black Clover lover.
Ooh, yes, sir.
The man who will take you down in the Smash. And we're talking about that Smash Brothers.
Hey.
I don't know about that last part.
Right, bro. Smash, take you down in the Smash. Nah, I ain't about that. What's going on?
It is the Nintendo himself, Nintendo Direct.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How's everybody doing? Thanks for having me on, man. Been trying to get on for a while, but, you know, I have to work these weekends, and I'm never on whenever you guys do it. So finally, it's good to be on and talk some My Hero and some other topics because, you know, my channel's Nintendo-based, so it's good to actually talk about something else for once. So I'm excited.
Hey, man, it's all good. And like I said, man, we and you have been talking in our party chats about Hero Aka, and you've been gushing about it because you recently just came back into anime.
Yes.
And been excited for that. And I've been telling you about a lot of good stuff that's come out over the past few years that you've been enthralled with.
Yes. This is true. Assassination Classroom. Shameful. I never watched Samurai Champloo until recently. So that was one. So it's like a whole new world to me. Like after leaving for a while, you know, like I got married and had kids and started to work and I never really got to keep up with it. And so finally, I just said, you know what? Piss on it, man. I'm just going to force myself to start keeping up on it with all the time I have between drives at work. So I've just been catching up on any anime I can. And right now I'm on Assassination Classroom, which, by the way, is magnificent.
Yeah. And I know that was the one thing that me and you talked about when we first started talking. You're just like, dude, you keep up with everything. He's like, you gotta give me some stuff. And I was just like, yeah, I got you, my man. And me and Super G actually talk and gush about Assassination Classroom a lot because it's one of the better done animes that handles such a large cast of characters so well.
Yes. Yes.
That ensemble.
And not one character is boring, honestly. That's one thing that I really enjoy about it. Like it started off slow and I was like, bro, I don't know if I can do this. Remember I texted you and was talking to us like, dude, I don't know if I can do this, man. Like
I told you for this one definitely it takes the first two episodes to really get a feel. Yeah. And after that it just takes off.
That's part of the 3-episode rule, bro.
Yeah.
I know. I have all
it doesn't work. It doesn't work for all animes, but for really big ones, especially such a large cast like that, dude, it really does pay off later.
Right.
And
Right.
And once you start getting into it, like I said, every character in that, every student in that class gets an episode to really shine. And then they're not just thrown in the background after that. No, they become a big part of it, and you really start seeing everyone involved 24/7.
Right. You're starting to see certain people, you're starting to see their abilities. Like, I can't remember the big bully's name, but I can't remember his name.
Thoracica.
But you're starting to see him sort of come into his own and get involved right now. That's the spot that I'm at. So it's so, getting good, dude. It's getting good.
Yeah, you're
good,
talking about Thoracica. Yeah.
Right. Right now I'm on the episode where they're on the island because they pretty much beat A class.
Yeah, you're on the island. On a summer vacation.
Yeah, so you're almost on vacation. So it's getting great. It's getting good.
Yeah, so you're almost at the end of season one, which is real good because this is where you really start to see, especially Nagisa, really start to show off, and everyone else really.
Get oh man, I already saw Nagisa whenever he did that one teacher dirty, the teacher that would like that beat him all the time or whatever, and started like whipping him and stuff. Like he did that dude dirty. I was like, oh man, Nagisa, dude, Nagisa's the truth, man. The way he did that dude dirty in that episode.
Yeah, man. It, like I said, it gets better, and just the cast, the characters are just something else, man. Kuro Sensei is probably one of the greatest characters, especially for a teacher character in an anime that I absolutely love.
Right, yeah. Right.
But yeah, it's good to finally get you out here, man. I'm glad that we finally got the time. And like I said, we've been gushing about Hiro Aka. We always gush here on the show about it. So it's good to have you out here with us on it.
Oh, but, I'm ready. I'm ready for it.
I know you are because you've been doing it nonstop. But we got quite a bit of a spread here of things to go over. But the first thing I want to bring up, and this is for a lot of anime fans, and at least one personally for me, is that the first thing is that Isao Takahata, the co-founder of Studio Ghibli, passed away about 2 weeks ago. And it's really sad because a lot of people don't know of Takahata and the impact he had with Studio Ghibli right alongside Hayao Miyazaki. Takahata was basically the director. He helped lead a lot of the projects where Miyazaki was the artist in kind of brain of it, where he had the creative mind and everything. Takahata was the one who really kind of helped push things and get it in a clear direction to get it. And he had a lot of help in the beginning, and he had a lot of big impact. Like one of the biggest projects that Takahata did in the early years was Grave of the Fireflies.
Which I'm about to say that, dude. That's shit, dude.
Grave of the Fireflies was probably the one movie that was a lot darker than most of Studio Ghibli's films, but they do have a few. But this one was probably one of the heavier ones that was simply phenomenal, that holds well even today, because it follows a brother and his younger sister during times of war and what it does to a country as it's war ravaged all the way around. And it's a very sad tale. But the thing is that Takahata left a big legacy about all this. And when he left Studio Ghibli, not because of the fact that he was mad or anything, but he wanted to start doing his own thing. Some of his stuff that he did never became really big, like Hayao Miyazaki, who continued to do a lot of stuff. That's why Hayao Miyazaki is an auteur in the anime industry, where not a lot of people recognize Takahata's contributions. He was more doing a lot of movies on old poems and stuff in a very different way than what Miyazaki did. But one of the last...
He liked to write a lot of dramas, though. A lot of stuff was drama-based, man.
Yeah, it really was. But one of the last ones that
he... Because, I mean, remember Only Yesterday, that movie? Dude, that movie was huge, bro. That movie got 100% on, like, Rotten Tomato. Yeah. That's one of the ones that has 100%, dude.
Exactly. He like I said, he did a lot of poems and folktales on what his stuff did. And they were very unique takes. And a lot, some of his art was more old school water-based, kind of what you would see on old tapestry and things like that. His animation was different from Miyazaki's, but his was still just exceptional. And there was an interview with Miyazaki recently that was talking about Takahata, and he's at a loss for words. Like, Takahata and Miyazaki were always really close, and he's still just trying to process it all of losing someone who's been, you know, so close to him all these years. And like I said, for me, it was one of those things that really hit me, because I grew up with a lot of Miyazaki's films and Studio Ghibli's, but I also remember watching Grave of the Fireflies when I was much younger. And it was really something that really kind of got me thinking about a lot of things on it. So what are your thoughts, Nick, since you're fresh on here, I kind of want to get your thoughts on this, if you have anything to offer.
I don't have too much to offer on this subject, because you talking to me, you actually introduced me to this, and I didn't even know this was new. So I'm actually learning about this as you guys are talking about it, because like I said I wasn't that deep into the anime culture and Japanese culture, and like I'm still learning now. So as far as me having thoughts on that, I don't have too much. Like, for me, this is a learning experience, so I'd let somebody else take the helm on this one.
Okay. I got you. Super G, I know that you were about to bring up Grave of the Fireflies when I brought up Takahata. What are your thoughts on this, man?
Hey, man, it sucks, dude. It sucks anytime you lose someone that's like that holds something to, like, for me, I love Studio Ghibli. Like, their movies, all their movies that I've watched, I watched like with my dad and stuff like that, because he got me into anime. And that's another story, but like, those movies have always left impacts on me because they always mean something. There's always so much debt to those movies. And like, the particular movies I like, I noticed that he was the one that like pretty much put his thumbs on it, like his fingers on it so much, man, that Miyazaki movies are dope, but like his, I think they're more, I don't know, they're more touchy, bro. And they always leave you like in the feels, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah. Whereas Miyazaki will definitely touch on things that are, you know, about self-reflection and a lot of things, because think about Howl's Moving Castle, Spirited Away, great films, whereas Takahata, when he got involved, it came with a lot of depth and thought. Think of
that's what I'm saying.
Princess Mononoke, like, and
Pompoko.
Pompoko and then those were ones where there was a little bit more to it, especially if you look at Princess Mononoke. Princess Mononoke was one of the more darker films out of Studio Ghibli's repertoire. Yeah. Because that,
if you notice too, like his more of his films that when he was like included in them were more the like the critically acclaimed movies. Like, they're the ones that like were up for like best animated movies at the Academy Awards and stuff like that. So his movies left like lasting impacts, dude. So
yeah, and like I said, with all those come with deep thought pieces. Because like with Princess Mononoke especially, because this is one that I could really bring up in well detail, is that it showed the spirits of nature kind of fighting the encroachingness of humanity as we slowly expand and take more of nature and yet not give back to what was there first. And it kind of showed that and showed where human relations with the planet and spirits of everything else kind of sit when you have this in growing expansion and everything. It hit really one of those thought provoking aspects in a lot of things, you know? Neth, what are your thoughts on it? I know I had to give you some research material, because on a show before, you said that you didn't know shit about Miyazaki or Studio Ghibli.
Man, just watch if you just watch Ponyo, bro, you'll be all right.
For real.
No, Ponyo was good though.
Hey, Ponyo was dope. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Before we begin, I just want to say, Nick, awesome that you're here, and that was a fantastic sex tip that you did.
I'm just saying, bro. I'm just because seriously, Bloody was just like, oh man, I'm bummed. And he was talking to me about it. And I was like, who? What are we talking about here? And then so he was like, tell me about this dude. So I had to like click and Google and research. Like, so I I'm just new. So I had no idea what he's talking about. Like,
yeah. Okay. No, so you have the excuse that you're new. So that's fine. But man, my excuse is I'm a fraud. I have no idea who this man is.
Hey, you know what? You know what? That's not even fraudulent, bro. We got to give you that L, because that dude has been around like forever, bro. He's like probably like almost 90 years old when he died, bro. So like, to even like say something about his work, bro, it's probably like way before some of your time, man. So
I'm
like,
looking at your ages, this like, movie list.
Man, this shit's way before my time. Bruh,
looking at this movie list.
And
right
that's
now,
what I'm
dude.
Saying. So you can't get served an L when it's something like when it's that far back,
but
bro.
Gee, I mean, he did admit that he was a fraud, because I mean, me and Neth are around the same age, and I still know about more stuff older than he is.
You can call me because you live in a museum. I swear to God, this dude grew in a museum.
Real dude, this dude does, dude. This dude knows anything and everything about everything, dude. I'm dead serious. Like, you could talk to him. Hey,
he's an anime automatic. Yeah,
like for real, and not even anime, video games, movies, anything. This dude is crazy.
I know. Night of the Living Museum? That's a documentary about his fucking life. I don't know.
No, I mean, I'm looking at this roster of movies right now. Like, I'm looking at the list. Like, dude, I'm 72, 68, 86, 84. I wasn't even born yet. Fuck 88, 73, 79, 82.
That's why I said we can't give you that, L, bro, because, I mean... Like we all either 80s or 90s babies in here, bro. So it's just like,
yeah. But either way,
I was making movies like before our parents was born, bro. So,
shit, my parents were in India, but anyways,
my mom was around. My dad was a little kid at that time.
You know, it is sad that he passed. You said he had a 100% movie, so I know the man must have had talent, and you know, that's sad to see.
That is sad. It was a high. Right now, after
that was like
everything,
when it came out, 93 or 94 movie or something.
91. Mm-hmm. 91 only yesterday came out, 91. Right now,
I know it was something like that. I was a little kid when it came out.
If you look at it now, the score is sitting at a 90 on its Metacritic and on IMDb, but still, it's a high-rated film out of their repertoire. I'm telling you, some of what he did was a lot of the stuff that came out when we were kids, Neth. Like I said,
when it came out, it wasn't nothing like it when it came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just
this trailer up.
I'm telling you, some of these films that he's done and helped to direct while Miyazaki did you know the art, you know. Miyazaki was always an art tour. He put his name on it, kind of like Hideo Kojima and others have done. Takahata was just fine doing the direction. He wanted to help give it, when him and Miyazaki founded Ghibli, they knew that they were a perfect pair for it because Miyazaki was the ideas, but he just didn't know how to get it out there. If you look at Miyazaki, just like if you look at Miyazaki, especially
Michael Chima, bro.
Yes, yeah.
Has these stories, but he doesn't know how to like portray it for the people, bro. So he gets other people to do it for him, like
Or help give him a clear vision. It's the same way with Akira Toriyama. Akira Toriyama's always writing, always drawing and stuff, and he's just like, I don't remember when I came up with this. You know, Miyazaki was the same way. He always creates art, and he's just like, I may have done this back then. He's like, I don't remember exactly. Takahata was the one who helped guide his vision and help put everything together, and that's why they did so great together before he left and did his own thing. But you know,
is this the dude that made that movie where like a girl lost her parents and they were like pigs or something?
Yes, that's
See Spirited Away. Like, this is a movie I've seen. I did not like that movie.
Spirited Away was all Miyazaki, but he helped.
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna say.
Yeah, I remember. I was like, this movie's fucking weird.
That's Studio Ghibli's aspect. That's what they do. Is a lot of those is not that she lost her parents or that they turned to pigs. Is that she stumbled into the spirit world, and that when she came back, that the spirits were seen as gluttonous pigs. You know, just eating everything. That's where it all came down to. A lot of it is a lot of symbolism and a lot of what Miyazaki does. But if you look at things like really look at Grave of the Fireflies, one of the best ones, as he said, Only Yesterday, Pompoko, some of those ones are really heavy because of the fact that they focus on the story and centered on a story of growth for a person, or really think about it. With, like I said, with Grave of the Fireflies, it's all about a war-torn Japan, you know, way back in the day, and it's following the soldier who left and trying to protect his little sister and kind of following what people were doing to survive when things are taken away, you know, when there's only a little bit of food and there's rations, people are fighting, killing it, and doing everything they can to survive. And, you know, what some people will fall into when they lose people, man. It really is a great, great movie to really think about.
Yeah, I'm going to be real with you guys. I'm going to make that promise again. I'm going to check out his work, but we all know my foreign ass will not do it.
You always say, yeah, man, I'm going to put that on my list. And then it's like, oh, man, where?
Let's start rewatching One Piece.
Yeah, right?
I need to do that.
Neth is the kind of fraud that's like, look, I'll wait 2 to 3 years and let it build up before I watch it.
Hey, that's straight up me, man. Fuck that. I'm a binge watching a problem.
I agree with you, man. I like binge watching a lot of stuff, but
it is the best. It's disgusting.
Can't binge watch My Hero, though. That's what kills me.
Oh no, you can't.
Hey, man, there's too much stuff to binge watch at times, especially when there's always something new coming out. That's why I started. I was like, you know what? I'm coming back into it. I'm finding stuff. I was like, I'm going to binge watch these and then keep up with everything that's ongoing. I was like, I go back. I was like, the only thing I last binge watched was Case Closed, because or Detective Conan, as it's called in Japan, is that show came out back in 2000 here in the States. Did 52 episodes and then was canceled and then it didn't anymore. It was still running for the past 20 odd years over there. And it had like, when I went into it, like 820 episodes. I binge watched that whole thing over 3-4 months, had it broken down to a science to basically watch like 8 to 10 episodes a day at any moment that I could. I know life the shit out of that show because I do love a good detective mystery.
Hey man, I gotta say, I went into One Piece when it's like 700 episodes in. I did that shit in like a month. That's the level I binge watch at. 20, yeah. 30 episodes a day, fuck it. I'm doing it.
Yeah, because I had to do that. I was just like, all right, so I have an hour of lunch at work. I have 30-minute drive, so I can put one on. I was like, I'll watch one on the way back. When I get out of a shower after I get home, I was like, I have 4 hours to myself. I'll watch 6 episodes while I'm doing this. I had it all broken down into time, man. I broke it all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not even including the 15 movies it has as well, especially the 4 of them that are crossed over with Lupin the Third.
Oh, yeah, I'm about to say that.
Yeah,
the third movie or something.
Yeah, it had 4 movies crossover with Lupin the Third. I was about to say, gee, you love Lupin the Third.
Oh, that's just dope, bro.
Yeah.
Anybody that haven't seen it, you're doing a disjustice to yourself. Check that out.
Yeah, but back to this is that you know, Isao Takahata was one of those iconic people in the industry, and in that a lot of people are really feeling the loss, just like when we've seen, you know, legends in the film industry have passed away and stuff like that. This is the kind of guy that really helped to define the animation industry right along Miyazaki, and it just needed to pay our respects to someone who has such a strong impact on the medium that we love today. So to all the fans of Takahata, everyone out there, our love is with him. Hopefully everything's able to really grow, and hope that his legacy is able to persist afterwards. Now, next thing on the list, because we've been here talking about it for the past 2 to 3 months, is that Infinity War. And right now, the countdown has finally begun. We are less than 6 days away, and the hype is at an all-time high.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yep, and we've been talking about it in our group chat on everything that's going to happen during it, what we're going to see, what we hope to see, what's going to come after. And there's been a few things. And while we keep having our predictions on everything, it right now is the last stretch. Just got to last just a little bit longer. But we're already seeing some of the talks with a lot of the directors and studio heads of Marvel on the coming plan. And one of the biggest ones that I found to be the most interesting is actually that there was an interview with the Russo brothers about what's going to come after Infinity War, what's going to come for the future MCU, and what will be the next big thing to do. Well, they actually were talking, and they were saying with all the talks out there, especially with the Fox acquisition, that the only logical thing to do to have all those characters would to be do Secret Wars, something that we've actually talked about on the show multiple times, is that if the Fox acquisition goes through, that having the universe separate, let the X-Men universe get their stuff straightened out, get it on a new track, and then in time bring it over for Secret Wars to really bring both universes together. That's something that I had mentioned that I would like to see. And to see that that's the talks coming from the directors of Infinity War on what is the obvious next step to do for such a large cast, that bodes well for everything. And I want to get y'all's thoughts on it. Nick, do you have anything that you want to talk about on this? Any thoughts about it for yourself?
I mean, it's... The Secret Wars is a great idea, and I mean it's logical that that's where they need to go. I'm just like, how many more? ideas can they possibly do? You know what I mean? I think they're at the brink of this coming to an end, and I think they're just milking it out. And yeah, Secret Wars, that's cool and all, but yo, I mean, we're getting close to the end. I mean, so I think if they do this, that's it. Like they, and it'll start to go downhill from there. But
you don't think that they could do anything really big after Avengers 4 and keep it going for years to come?
I don't know, dude. I don't know. I think it's gonna start to die down here pretty soon.
I don't know, man.
Phase four.
They're saying a lot of shit's about to happen.
Yeah. All right. So Nick, that's an interesting take that you don't think that the superhero will last for much longer.
So no, that's not what I'm saying. The Avengers, like that whole animal, I think eventually
we know that the Avengers are gonna swap out. We already know that a lot of the lead characters that we have right now, Captain America, Iron Man, and all of them are gonna be gone. But that's the interesting thing about these superhero teams is that they've changed characters over the years. I mean, in the comics, Captain Marvel was actually the head of the Avengers after Cap died. So it's easy for them to pass on the mantle to new actors and new characters and keep these things going, because the interesting thing about comics and these big universes is that they're ever changing, and if done right, some of these things can go on for quite some time.
If done right. I mean, right now the cast that they have right now is absolutely amazing, and if they don't cast the next set of characters right, like. I think it could be very bad. That's where I'm going with it. Like, just right now, the cast they have is perfect. I don't know if the moving on from them would bode well, just depending on who they get. That's my main concern anyway.
So okay. What you mean is they need to cast people right, like they did Robbie Downey Jr. with Iron Man, rather than what they did with Iron Fist.
Right,
Netflix.
Correct.
Oh no,
I have kids. That's swinging.
That's a great example. But that's a great example. I'm sorry. It just is.
Oh no. All right, Ness, since you're already throwing the shade out there right now, what are your thoughts on this?
I'm throwing the shade. You guys want to talk about that Inhumans, right, bloody?
Oh,
this shit's canceled.
Oh, you're gonna go there, huh?
No, I'm just fucking with you, but nah, humans are dead. Anyways, all right, so what you were talking about Secret Wars and building up the X-Men, and I think that's the absolute right approach to do. So if we compare it to something that we already kind of have in the TV realm of things, if this is Marvel, this is DC, mind you, you know with the CW, they have their Arrowverse. You got the Flash, you got not technically Supergirl, but whatever. You got the Flash, Arrow, and kind of Supergirl. But then they just recently launched Black Lightning, and Black Lightning doesn't take place in their universe. It's separate. So what if they do that with the X-Men, like you just said earlier, where the X-Men's separate and then they collide them? Because, like, as we can see, Black Lightning is very different from his other CW counterparts. He's a lot more real, down to earth. And that's what the X-Men need to be. They always had the very real storylines. They dealt with AIDS. They dealt with segregation. They dealt with the very serious topics. So this is what Marvel could do to really get their R-rated films out there, their serious films.
I definitely see where you're coming from, but you also got to remember too with that, because you're talking about the Arrowverse. Yeah, we've had a lot of it in universe, but we also seen it too with Supergirl. Supergirl's technically was in her own universe that the Flash ended up jumping into when he ran too fast and all that. So yeah. I definitely see where you're coming from, and that makes sense, because that's why I was saying is that this is what they need to do. If they want to make Secret Wars work. With the Fox acquisition, rebuild the X-Men universe. Let them get some real good stories out. Let people get used to the cast and really establish them. And then use Secret Wars as a way to bring both together. Because with Secret Wars, remember, the Beyonder brought all the universes together in the battle world and had everyone basically fight to the death, and whoever survived would be in the remaining universe. And we saw that with the last Secret Wars event, you know, between the Earth 515, which is the main Earth that we've known everyone, and then we had the Ultimate Universe, which had like the Uncanny Avengers, and then of course Miles Morales, Spider-Man, and others. And at the end of it, you know, a few of them survived from the Ultimate Universe and end up coming into the main one, which is the Prime Universe as it is now. Just like we've seen even in some of DC's comics with like Infinite Crisis on Infinite Earths and everything else. So I definitely agree that that's what needs to be done. Even especially if they want to use it for being a little bit more darker or have that stronger R rating, especially when you have characters like Deadpool and Wolverine and stuff like that to really get out there and aggressive with it and be a little bit more of the, not really edgy, but a little bit more of that darker appeal with
everyone. Yeah, make the X-Men the X-Men. They need to be on like a kind of clean slate, like something that's very different. And
well, no matter what, bro, they're going to give them a clean slate.
Yeah, they're
no matter what, I think they got to do a clean slate, dude.
They're going to have to do it. Like, that's what I'm saying with a lot of the stories that they
have. I mean, even so, because like the X-Men right now as it exists, they have their own Quicksilver, and the Quicksilver in the MCU already died. So
that's the X-Men Quicksilver was better, I'm not going to lie.
You really like the X-Men Quicksilver? I don't know
how I like that actor more. I think he did a better job.
I like the other actor from
He looked like crap, but he was pretty
good. Yeah, he looked like crap, but he was a better actor.
Maybe that's just because of the fact that I'm biased and I like the character from the MCU because he did kick ass. Even though they were both from the Gotham same movie.
Yeah, but yeah. I said they're from the same movie.
Yeah, but one was a star, the other one was just the background dude.
Hey. Background dudes can make comebacks. But apparently, I mean, that's what I mean, though, because like the X-Men need to be in the clean slate, like we just said, and they could do the more serious storylines because people probably would have a hard time seeing, like, wow, the MCU is suddenly dark because they're so used to seeing, like, the Iron Man, Captain America's, and the more lighthearted stuff. Where if you start a whole new universe, kind of like what they did with Black Lightning and the CW, you just see he's in a more gritty world overall.
Yeah.
And you're getting used to that.
Yeah, and I definitely agree with that because
the X-Men, for God, let it be darker. I'm tired of go for any kitty crap.
But that's easier said than done, though, because the CW is in a much easier predicament with that because of Flash went to his damn universe and set that up too.
And plus with that, it's all going through their own production house, and they work directly with Warner Brothers, so they can use whatever the fuck they want to use. But the issue with it on here is that while I agree that the X-Men definitely need a fresh start, is that they do need to be darker, because if you think about the history of the X-Men, they handled a lot of more serious topics, as you stated, segregation. They dealt with a lot of stuff about, mutations and genetic disorders with AIDS and HIV and a lot of other things that haven't really been touched on and a lot of politics, especially a lot of politics with what Xavier set up the school for the gifted for, compared to the politics of what Magneto wants, is that super metahuman suppression of non-mutated people. He wanted control over the
camps.
Yeah, concentration camps. Because the fact that you got to remember too, he was a survivor of the Holocaust. He's seen that, so it's also led him. So it really does deep into a lot of the political aspects of that because of ideologies. So it would definitely be something that should be explored. And we've seen that the Fox stuff isn't afraid to explore some of that, and that's the way it should be. And I really hope that with the fact that Disney is doing this for the Marvel studio, because as Feige said, he wants to be the Marvel studio, not the Avengers studio. He wants all Marvel back together. I really hope that they set something up to be able to really push these stories and more stronger ratings. G, I know you've been talking a little bit, and let's get your input on this.
I mean, I said what I pretty much said, bro. Like, I just want everything all together under one roof so it could be directed correctly. Because, I mean, X-Men is hit or miss, bro. Like, that Apocalypse one was kind of like...
Yeah,
but those days... Was it
that one?
Days of Future Past.
The second one, that one was good, bro. And then even First Class was dope. I like First Class, bro.
Oh, yeah, First Class. Like I said,
I love Kevin Bacon, too, so it helped that he was in that movie.
Yeah. Like I said, I love the First Class universe with where they were in Days of Future Past and Apocalypse.
And that's my
like,
only gripe too about them having to reset everything is kind of like resets those movies. Yeah. I like those movies a lot, dude.
Yeah. See, what they need to do is they need to find the right stories and tell them right. They're trying to rush things with it, and that's why I said that I like the new cast that they have for the X-Men. They're young, they fit the characters, they give them a unique take, but don't rush stories. Like I said, we've only seen one movie with Sophie Turner as Jean Grey. They don't immediately need to do Dark Phoenix next because it didn't work.
I was gonna say X3. That too.
Yeah, they didn't. Mm-hmm.
It's too early for Dark Phoenix, bro. Way too early.
Dark Phoenix would be something.
It's cool that they showed and touched on her in that Apocalypse one. That was cool, but it's not her time to like go full fledged Phoenix, bro. Just not yet.
Like honestly,
by them doing that so early, it'll mess that whole thing up.
Exactly, because the threat of the Phoenix Force is something that is beyond cosmic. Even the gods of the cosmic universe fear the Phoenix Force because of how powerful it is. That's something that they could really save for later when they involve many more characters. And if they do Secret Wars, the Dark Phoenix will be perfect because it will literally pit, you know, X-Men versus Avengers, especially with the fact that they need to kill Jean Grey to stop the Phoenix Force before it gets passed on to Emma Frost later. No, it's one of those things that really does need to be well thought out.
And fleshed out and just done correctly, dude. That's all that matters, just having it done correctly, right cast, and stop just trying to speed everything up.
Exactly.
As long for Avengers, I don't see why we have to wait, why we couldn't wait for that, you know, to be all done correctly.
Exactly. Op, what do you got? What do you think?
Well, I'm just going to piggyback off what y'all said. It's like what Super G said. Like, I like the Avengers, but I'm tired of seeing them. I want to explore other aspects of the universe. As far as X-Men, well, like more mature, like phase of X-Men, but I doubt they'll probably do it. If they do, it'll probably go like a touch it a little bit. But you just got to take your time with it, because they already messed up with Fox. Because they rushed to do Apocalypse, and we all know that turned out. Now they're doing Dark Phoenix, so. Yeah, if they take their time with it, I'm good. But just all right, see right execution from them.
Yeah. Exactly. And it does fall under needing really strong execution for that. You know, it really does need to be well done and planned out.
Yep. It just sucks when you say that, because I like the cast, the new cast. I like the cast, bro. So.
I do love them a lot, too. I like to see if they do go to this X-Men phase. I want to see my team with Fantastic Four start dealing more cosmic enemies. Let's get a little more, I guess, adjusted to the new phase.
That's what they need to worry about. Fantastic Four, they need to redo that and fix that up correctly.
Yes. Hot mess. Yes, please.
Yeah, that is 100%.
The first Fantastic Four, I hate that it's looked at that way.
The first reboot that was actually worse than the original.
Oh, God.
Right?
Who was that guy you want to play Mr. Fantastic Four? What's his name?
John Krasinski.
Great. See that bloody, right?
Yeah. And that's actually what we're going to go into next, because the fact that I've had to bring it up is that we were talking about who would play a more aged, Reed Richards really well, and you brought up John Krasinski, and we were all talking about it and thinking, and I was like, I'm not so sure, but y'all started talking about a horror movie that recently came out called A Quiet Place, and y'all have known my stance on horror movies is that for the most part I don't like horror movies because they've all become cliched tropes that you could see well ahead of time. Well, I went with my roommate yesterday to go see it because he really wanted to. And I have to say, that movie is probably one of the best horror movies I've seen in such a long time. Because of the fact that, one, they really played on the aspect of it being truly quiet. The movie was tense because of the sheer silence and atmosphere of everything. It takes a lot of acting skills and props to really do something where you're not really speaking. You're not putting any more emotional depth into it, but the way that they were portraying everything physically and the few times that they did speak in the film, it had a lot of impact in those moments. And seeing John Krasinski as such a much older man, full bearded, everything, and the way that he did, I could absolutely see him as Reed Richards. In like mid-40s, he would be perfect for Reed Richards at that time frame. And to think that not only that, but John Krasinski actually wrote the movie and directed it too.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He would be perfect for it. Like I'm perfectly sold on him being the new face for the Fantastic Four if they do. And he really should go for it. If they really want to retry the Fantastic Four with the right group, I think that he would be perfect fit for that scientist character, more older gentleman that Reed Richards is. You know, he has that atmosphere about him now.
Yeah, him and his wife, Emily Blunt, but bloody. Yeah,
they can put both of them in a movie. I don't care, bro. Just get it right, bro. Because Fantastic Four is my shit, bro. I'm tired of them.
They're the first family for a reason, man. They were one of the first superpowered families.
They're like the worst family right now, though, bro.
Well, they're coming back.
They're coming back.
Coming back.
I know. I hope so, bro. I hope so, man.
No, you were out that episode, but Marvel already announced that they're rebringing back the Fantastic Four comics.
There's even a trailer for it.
Oh, well, yeah, I know that. I know the comics. I don't have a problem with the comics. I mean, like with the movies, bro. Like they need to get them on the right path, bro. Because, oh my gosh, bro.
You know,
like,
he was almost Captain America.
He was. That's a fun fact,
bro.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe because you think of him as in The Office, but he's actually got a lot.
He was almost Captain America. That's kind of crazy.
His fucking nose, though. But
oh, yeah. But I ain't got no problem with him. He's a dope actor. He's now he's we can see that he's a dope director too, bro. So
I think he'd be a better Reed Richards, though. I think that's a perfect fit for him.
Yeah. Now that you say that,
did you guys see too? He's playing. I think like Jack Reacher or something. I don't know. He's on like an Amazon show that's gonna be coming out, dude. If you guys got Amazon,
yeah, he's on an Amazon show.
Yeah.
He's a good actor. But Bloody, I wanted to ask you, were you the one guy eating popcorn during that movie?
Actually, no. I was eating popcorn, but there were so many times where it got so tense, I literally just sat it down and was just so enthralled, I forgot all about it.
You can't be the one guy during that fucking
Man, Neff, you would hate me. I would have had nachos in there. I'm sorry, man.
Oh, yeah. Neth was the guy who had the popcorn who threw it up when he got jumped and just went everywhere. I was not that fool.
For real? No. That happened?
Yeah.
No, that didn't happen. Here's the thing, though. You can't, like, that movie's so quiet where if you eat popcorn, everybody fucking hears you. You know what I mean? Because the movie uses silence. Yeah.
Dude, I said, don't have fucking popcorn. I don't know. Maybe I haven't seen the movie. I don't do well with horror movies, but that seems like a movie that would really... It has my attention, but, bruh, I don't do horror movies very well.
The ending I kind of saw. Yeah, it's really scary. It really is a really tense movie and really well done, but the ending I kind of saw after about, like, the halfway to two-thirds of the movie, and they showed the one aspect, I was just like, oh, okay, I kind of see where this is going to go. And everything, and it wasn't a bad ending by any means. I after that point, I just like, oh, I see where they're going with this now. I was like, okay, I got that. So I figured it out right around there. I was just like, oh, alrighty. But
yeah, I think they did it that way because they don't necessarily want to make a sequel to the movie. Like it's kind of a one and done story.
Yeah, kind of it. But like I said, man, it was a phenomenal horror movie. Like really one of the best in such a long time. Like the only other movie that's been comparative, but not necessarily horror, but with the way that they built the atmosphere was The Revenant with Leonardo DiCaprio, just silence throughout the whole movie, only a few talking lines here and there, but it was all atmosphere and drama and everything else. It felt really like that. So it's phenomenal. And like I said, my stance on horror movies has been that they're all kind of dumb, but this one was significantly better.
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed this movie quite a bit, and like even with horror movies, like I loved last year's It, 2017, fantastic movie, but it wasn't scary to me. It was just a really good story. This movie not only did it have a good story, but it was genuinely scary to watch because of the whole atmosphere, the whole thing they went with it.
Yeah, exactly. So, Super G, have you actually seen it? I know, Op, you saw it, right?
Yeah, Off has to be muted, but Super G, did you see it?
Yeah,
Quiet Place. I haven't got seen it yet. I don't know what I'm up to, though. I will say, since I saw a trailer for the movie, the kid made noise during the forest. I got real mad, so I don't know if this is going to be good, but hearing y'all's thoughts about it, I'm going to check it out.
I'm going to have to check it out, but Brett, like I said, I don't do well with scary movies. Like, I'm that black guy. Like, so, like, yeah, dude, it's going to be crazy. I'm going to have to... And, like, the thing is you can't talk during the movie because it's quiet. There's no music. So, like, people are going to hear you mumble. It'll be embarrassing.
That's why I said it was embarrassing popcorn because everyone could hear me fucking eat. I was like, I can't do this.
Right. And you're just like, man, this is a movie setting and I can't eat popcorn because it's so quiet. That's funny, man.
You can't be the one guy who has popcorn.
No, nah, I'll eat the popcorn. Trust that. That's the only way it's gonna keep me from. That's just gonna keep me from being nervous, man. Just stuffing
it down. Like the way they do the movie so well. Like nothing could happen, but just the thought of it could happening because of the atmosphere they're in. That's the scariest part.
Like I saw the trailer, I believe, when I went to go see Star Wars, and I was intrigued. I was like, man, this actually looks good. But like I said, my wife doesn't do horror movies either, so I would literally have to go with a friend or by myself, and I don't know about all that.
Oh, man, you just brought some pain to my heart when you brought up Star Wars. I don't like talking about it.
Shh, don't worry about that.
Hey, go watch it by yourself, bro.
Watching it by myself, man. I can't do scary movies by myself. I got to have a crew with me, man. I got you.
Hey, it's better to do it by yourself, bro, because when you jump, nobody in there knows you, so you're good.
Trust me, where I live, everybody knows who I am. They're going to see me roll through and be like, hey, what's up, Nick? You going to watch a scary movie? I'm gonna be like, yeah, I am. And then they're going to make fun of me because I jump. So I better be off just waiting for it to come out on DVD or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, but like I said, it's definitely something you should check out. Now, next thing is, because we all got hyped on this because of mentioning our love of the DC and everything else, is that Deadpool 2 put out its final trailer, and they were throwing shade at everyone.
Peter the Goat.
Yep, Peter the Goat.
Peter the Goat.
And I love Peter. I gotta say that, man. The fact of that they finally showed off a little bit more about the story on what's saying. We still don't know who the kid is, but we know why that the whole story now more so. And they really showed off X-Force. We really got to see everyone on the team except for a few people, but we did get some confirmations of people who we expected. You know, Shatterstar, Bedlam. Of course, Domino is being confirmed for there. And then, of course, Ryan Reynolds poking jokes at Josh Brolin, you know, saying, calm down the hate train, Thanos. And then when he was talking about him, he's just like, oh, it's so dark. Are you sure you're not from the DCEU?
Oh, man.
Dane. I was dying so much, dude. Like, it had me just tripping out on the kind of jokes that they were going with it. And I was just like, dude, this is really pushing it forward with what they want to do with the next movie. And I'm really looking forward to it. It has me excited because I'm already laughing so hard. Their trailers and everything has been just top notch. Their marketing has been great. Like, I'm in love with it. I still don't know who the kid is. I have a feeling that that I think it's going to be a clone of Apocalypse because that was a storyline for X-Force. So, but it is one of those things that we aren't sure of yet. But let's kind of think about that. Well, Nick, you saw the trailer because as soon as I mentioned it, you got excited.
Yes.
What are you excited for? What are you looking for? And what do you think of it?
Okay, so I'm going to have an unpopular opinion. I liked the first Deadpool movie. I didn't love it. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed what Deadpool is, but I didn't love the movie. But seeing this trailer gets me hyped with the cast that they had. And like you mentioned, all the jokes and we're getting kind of a story, and I'm excited to see how they push it forward. Yeah, because like I said, this like the first one, just it was cool. I watched it, I enjoyed it, but I thought it was going to be bigger than what it actually was. So forgive me. So this one, I'm actually really anticipating to see how they push it forward. Like I said, I saw the cast, and I'm really excited about Domino, Zazie Beetz. I actually do like her a lot. She's in the TV show Atlanta that I watched. So when I saw that she was in here, I jumped for joy. Like, oh my goodness, she's actually getting good casting in some other movies, so I'm excited about that. Seeing Terry Crews, that was kind of different. But other than that, dude, like I said, I'm excited to see like how they move the story forward and how they progress with it. This looks like a good effort, in my opinion, anyway.
Mm-hmm. And to your point, Nick, the thing about the first one is you can kind of feel with a very test footage type movie where like they were on the lower budget.
Right, right.
Fox was really just testing them. Like, they didn't have any confidence. Where this movie, this is like what they're going all in on.
Exactly.
You see all those new characters. You got Peter the Goat. So I have confidence in this movie. Goat.
No, that just made me laugh, dude. It's just like, so what are your superpowers? Oh, I don't got any
superpowers.
Saw the ad.
Yeah, I saw the ad. And then he's jumping out the airplane. Yeah. Just, dude, it was awesome.
The greatest thing about when he dove out of the plane is he looked like Ron from Parks and Rec, but just still faced, mustache flapping in the wind, just hands in his pockets all the way. Yeah. When I saw that, I was just like, he has his hands in his pockets. I was like, he's just still faced as he's falling out of the thing. His mustache just flapping. I was like, is this Ron? I was like, this is Ron.
Ron Swanson.
It was just great, dude.
Dude, it was great.
The Peter fucking the goat right here, man. Peter the Goat.
Yeah, dude. But the characters that they have right there is just going to be something unique, man. It really is going to be special. They really are going big with... Oh, God. Peter
the Goat, bro.
Sorry, dude.
It's
just...
going to be a 10 out of 10.
I'm sorry, dude. I had to just watch that last part again. I had to go back and watch it, dude. Peter. Oh, my
Peter
goodness.
The fucking
he's like, oh, I don't have any superpowers. I just saw the ad. And he's just like, you're in.
Yeah.
You're in. Perfect. That's like, and that like.
Just look at this dude.
Humor of this movie. Perfect. Like, that's what Deadpool is. Doesn't give a shit. Just go in and do it.
Dude, when yeah. And
I love
and,
it.
And I'm right there with you on Zazie Beetz. I wasn't sure about it at first, but after I saw her in the uniform, I was like, okay, this is an interesting take on her. So I'm just like, I could definitely feel it. And then when you saw her, she's just like, what's your superpower? I'm really lucky. Luck isn't a superpower. Yes, it is. Let's just meet in the middle and say, no, it's not. I'm just like, all right, that's definitely the middle. But they really are just going overboard with the humor, and it works so well for this character and all the people around him. Like, I can't wait to see more of Bedlam, because one, I do love Terry Crews, and if anyone's gonna portray Bedlam, I could definitely see him. Dude's been talking about guys who are really putting in work across TV and movies. Terry Crews has definitely been doing a lot of work right there.
Yes.
Right next to The Rock.
Bro.
Man.
I love him, dude.
Dude, I was 100% on board for Terry Crews to be the voice of Doomfist in Overwatch, and when he didn't get it, I was very upset.
Yeah, I
but
was.
But what concerns me, though, is he's in Crackdown, which is a video game talk. He's in Crackdown, and we're not seeing anything about Crackdown 3, and that kind of makes me sad.
Suspect.
Yeah, that does make me sad, because he really is like the ultimate spokesperson for anything, because, I mean, look at all the
Old Spice. Old Spice commercials, dude.
Yeah, man.
He turned that brand. I mean, he didn't turn it around, but he made me want to buy a lot of Old Spice. I'm just saying.
Yo, man, Old Spice is all I buy now because of him, and then the real man who came after him. I was just like, yeah. I was like, all I can use is Old Spice.
Yeah,
now.
About to say they made like a rivalry on that shit. It was like a movie at one point.
Yeah.
It was epic.
Yeah, but. Like I said, for a character like Bedlam, you know, Terry Crews is just the perfect person to play Bedlam, and I'm absolutely for it. There's so many good things, and the choices they went with it, and this time they didn't have a full, you know, they didn't have any sort of issues with the writer. The writer was there from the beginning. Ryan Reynolds was helping pin it, not having to come back in at the end and you know, fix everything and all that kind of stuff. So it's one of those things that we really are going to see it in a more cohesive light outside of everything.
Mm-hmm. I know. I'm excited for the movie because, like, for whatever reason, there's like doubt around it. Like, it's not going to do well. I don't know why, because Solo,
Who said it wasn't going to do well?
At Fox, they don't have that much confidence in it, actually, because I mean, think they're afraid of the competition.
You can't see, well, I mean, you one thing that comic book fans and Marvel movie fans have proven is that they support every movie they put out. So, I mean, what do they have to worry about?
The shows, Ryan Fist, but
man, you really mad about that?
No, actually, believe it or not, I like that show, but Inhumans was trash. I'm glad that failed.
Oh, you tried to get me triggered on the show. I ain't giving it to you.
But anyways, yeah, Inhumans is trash. But I think they're afraid of like the Star Wars movie because it's coming out fairly soon, and then Avengers: Infinity War,
there's no
year's biggest movie. Yeah, but Deadpool's gonna do phenomenal. I'm telling you right now, like they're gonna do way better than they're expecting, and I can't wait for the movie.
Yeah, I'm sold for it, man. May 18th can't come soon enough. 3 weeks after Infinity War, definitely not going to be taking the first place at the box office.
May is going to be lit, bro. May is going to be lit.
May
lit, dude. Lit.
Yeah, because May was already going to be crowded because you're going to have Infinity War on the 4th. Then 2 weeks later, then you're going to have Deadpool. Then a week after that, you're going to have Solo.
Yeah, dude. It's gonna be lit. My pockets are gonna be thin.
Yeah, right.
Speaking of being about lit. Close to each other. Uh-huh. Don't worry about that.
Nah, yeah. See, here's the thing. They know with Deadpool that it's not gonna have any big issues. I mean, they already know that they're gonna be second to Infinity War because that thing's gonna be going. You thought
Black Panther's
6 week streak was something, you know. Infinity War is gonna be going on like 8-9 weeks, we talk about here.
Don't worry about Infinity War.
Yeah, but Deadpool is perfectly fine. You're like, you know what? We're fine. They'll be on the superhero high. We'll just ride it along with it.
Right. Get on that wave.
All right. Yeah.
Get that longboard. Just cruise.
And, exactly, man. Just cruising straight down. That's what they do in San Diego, right?
And before we move on, I just want to say shout out to Kevin Garcia and the chat and 108 Dragons TV.
Yeah,
dropping by.
What's good?
Thanks for being out here, Kevin, man. And the legendary Prometheus being in the chat. That's my boy.
Yeah, I'm about to say, we got to get him on here soon.
Yeah, he needs to. He's busy working them doubles, making that hard cash.
Hey, I feel that.
Yeah.
I feel that.
He's gonna be back out here with us. He always loves coming out here with us.
But going back to Infinity War, and you're talking about weekend numbers and all that. So talking domestically, because last time I was saying global by accident. What do you think the opening weekend is? I'm placing it at 300 million. What do you guys think?
I'm telling you, opening weekend, bro, that domestically opening weekend, it's easily going to do 500, 600 million. If shit, Black Panther, really? If right now the pre-sale tickets have outdone Black Panther, Civil War, the last seven movies combined, it beats all those pre-sales, and it did four times the amount of ticket pre-sale tickets for Black Panther in 6 hours after they opened it up and did the last trailer. This movie is gonna do numbers, huge numbers. If you're talking about four times alone for pre-sale tickets for Black Panther, and the opening weekend it did what, 230, almost 250 million alone domestically. It's easily going to double that in its gross domestic weekend. Overall, globally, it's easily going to break a billion and almost a
billion.
And almost, if not right the now. Opening weekend within the first week, no doubts. I'm saying 2 weeks that it'll break a billion domestic. I guarantee this movie is going to outdo the Force Awakens.
Yeah, and that said, The Force Awakens was the last placeholder, and that was like 247 million. Let's just round that up to 250. So you really think it's going to do significantly more than that?
Yep.
That's Star Wars, though. Like, that's
right. A
huge
idea. And this is the Star Wars of Marvel, bro.
Yep. I guess so. Like, I'm saying 300 million, but you think like 400, 500, 600? Damn. You got some confidence in this one.
Yeah,
but hey, I'm not gonna lie. You're fucking the data's pointing to it. Like, it's doing all those pre-sale numbers. I mean, just pre-sales alone, it's probably one of the biggest openings already.
Exactly, man. That's what I'm saying. Is if you look at what Black Panther did in its opening weekend, how quickly it did 100 million, and then 200 million in almost 2 days, and by the end of the weekend, it was at 230, almost 250 million. This movie's gonna easily top that.
Mm-hmm. And also, big shout out to TRS Fusion Wolf in the chat. You know, that guy's actually part of our Mighty Monsters Scram Pucks. I think he does his streams. So, what's up, TRS? If you ever want in, just let me know. I can send you a link.
Yeah, Fusion Wolf, you crazy man. Big ups to you, bro. Now, speaking on our continuous talk right now of superheroes, Another one that was rather loved and is unfortunately in a precarious predicament was Wonder Woman. And we already know that Patty Jenkins is being talked about to direct the sequel and everything else. Well, a recent interview came out that Linda Carter, the original Wonder Woman, is actually in talks with Patty Jenkins about making an appearance in the next Wonder Woman movie. Well, what are y'all's thoughts on that? Like, I personally think that it's amazing to see the original. And I've talked about this before, is I love when people who set precedent for a character come back and make, you know, some sort of either send off or have a full turnaround. Like everyone hated the Power Rangers reboot. I personally loved it. It had me feeling like all sorts of nostalgic. But seeing Amy Jo Johnson and Jason David Frank in there at the end of the movie had me like excited when they were looking at the new Power Rangers. I think it's a great send-off. And I've talked about this for other characters doing it, you know, especially with someone so iconic as Linda Carter. I mean, she's the one who really kind of defined the thickness and curvature of Wonder Woman back in the
thickness and curvature.
Yeah, because it man. She's a beautiful woman and she's built, and she was what kind of really gave a lot of people the thought of, you know, Wonder Woman being this, you know, curvy Amazonian woman, whereas Gal Gadot showed her as more fit. But, you know, her coming back would be something interesting, and I would wonder how they would portray her, what they would do with her. Well, Super G, what do you think about Linda Carter talking with Patty Jenkins about coming back?
Man, it's whatever, bro. Just give her one of those Stan Lee roles when she be like Tony Stank, and we're good. Right, she don't need nothing.
Right, right. I was gonna say the same thing. Like, what is she going to do?
What can she possibly do, bro? She be an old ass Amazonian. I'm cool. She can be Stan Lee of the movie. Good, Tony Stank. Is there a Tony Stank? Give her one of those. She's good, bro.
Man, you real disrespectful, Super Chief, for saying that shit.
Oh, man. Oh,
no, she's got to be like a higher up, you know, like an ancient Amazonian. Someone to be respected.
Hey, man. Hey, can you guys
hear me? She's got to have a good role.
Hey, didn't Seth show up all the Amazonian
what's
asses?
What's up?
What's good, Tom?
Yo, so you on road too, bro? Come on, bro. How you doing?
So swinging in at the last second.
I'm not gonna lie, Linda Carter looking good for 66 though.
I'm telling you, man, she's a good woman.
She looking good for 66 though.
I'm telling you, man, that's why I'm saying that she defines.
So Stan Lee in the movies too when he come out with his little role.
Man, you were fucked up.
I'm kind of with Super on this. You gotta wait and see what happens, but. If they already got their plans, and then she's hitting them up, what are they gonna do? Like,
I think that she could be one of the elder Amazonians. You know,
yeah, she needs to be someone who's really respected and all that. Like, she deserves that.
Yeah, definitely. Because think about it. You know, you look at some of the older Superman movies, or even the old Batman. If they went back and anything like that, and they had, you know, Michael Keaton or some of the others, you know, pay that right. Tributes, and not necessarily that they know who they are, but, you know, just have them in a respectable role. You know, it would be something interesting to see. And like I said, I really hope that they give her a decent role, even if it's not a name.
Well,
role, if they have her as an animal.
I just said that because I don't want them to force anything and like try to give her this big part of the movie. Like,
exactly.
If you really got nothing for it, just give her one of those little roles and get her on the fire. That's already paying homage to her, bro. Let her be in the movie, no matter what she really do.
Yeah, like I said, especially when you think of the Amazonians, there's plenty of them out there. Let her be one of the elders besides, you know, Diana's mom and stuff, like the rest of them on Themyscira. Let her be well respected. She doesn't need to do much, but, you know, just kind of talk to her, let her make her appearance and, you know, be done with it. But let her be able to have that kind of, you know, that little screen time, that shot where a lot of people will be able to see her in, you know, the Amazonian outfit and be like, oh, I know who that is, because, you know, you'll recognize her. She's easily tellable, especially in one of those outfits. You'll be able to recognize her as one of those
outfits.
Yeah,
looking good for 66.
I'm telling you, man. So, what do you think about Linda Carter talking about?
I'm looking her up now.
Yeah, about to say Super G has like a Jackie Chan confused face on right now with hearing you guys talk about her.
honestly, I don't fear, but it's cool, I guess, for the old school fans or whatever. But I just hope she's probably gonna be like a regular ass civilian.
That's what I'm saying. That's what we're saying, bro. They're like, oh no, they gotta give her a role. Nah, man, just be in the background.
She's gonna be on the street, like, whoa.
For 5 seconds, maybe 10, whatever. I was like, oh, that's a Wonder Woman. Done.
Yep. Move on. That's what I think is gonna happen. So, oh, look at that beautiful Amazon woman right there. And she's talking about Gal Gadot or something.
Yeah, right next, yeah, right, ne- right standing next to her, huh?
Man, she gotta have respect. She can't be just some side character.
Okay. Well, that's what she gonna be.
Right.
Respect.
Well, yeah, I get that she's gonna be a side character, but she should still have some sort of, you know.
Well, I mean, sorry, a side character rather than a background character.
Yeah, that much better if she's a side character than background, because, but yeah, even though, like I said, when they did some cameos for others, like I said, even with Amy Jo Johnson and Jason David Frank and the Power Rangers. Yeah, they were technically background characters, but they were right there front center after the fight and everything of the Megazord. When they looked at the crowd, they were directly front and center looking at everything. And, you know, you knew and recognized immediately who they were. You know, everyone knew it was Tommy and Kimberly. You
know? Honestly, I wouldn't recognize her at all. I wouldn't even know who it was unless they made, like, an article talking about it. Honestly. Yeah.
Right. Wow, Kevin, you real disrespectful.
Kevin, he's gonna be the Uber driver. Oh yeah, dude.
Gonna be the Uber driver. Hey.
Oh no,
wilding out, bro. That's funny, man.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
Kevin
got the idea.
Y'all making big a big deal.
Big ups to Kevin and chat, bro. Big ups to Kevin and chat, bro. You know what's up. You know what's up.
You know how they do Stan Lee in these movies, man.
Kevin, man, you did some fusion disrespect right there.
Hold on. Stan Lee's a watcher in the MCU. Like, he's actually a pretty big being.
He's a mailman, and he's a old pervert in somebody window, bro.
Or a librarian, bro, or something
he,
like that.
Bro, not
but he's
even.
A watcher.
Yeah. He's the DJ at the strip club, man. Come on now.
They got no
real disrespectful.
Stan Lee is a GOAT. He has many occupations in the world of Marvel.
How they do him in the movies. Where do you think they go? And that's Stan Lee. They gonna do Linda Carter better than that?
Yeah, but hold on. He's like a watcher, though, so like it works.
He's a watcher.
Yeah.
Come on. You know who the watchers are.
I know, man. But y'all talking about how she's gonna get this role. I'm reading articles. They're saying like it's just in talks. They don't even know if it's gonna happen. Like,
but that's what I'm saying. That's why I was saying, what would you?
It's gonna happen, and she's gonna be the male woman.
Thank you.
Uber driver out with the old, in with the new. God damn, no. You guys don't care.
Oh, so vicious, so vicious.
She's gonna be the male driver. Woman. She's gonna be the male pizza driver. Amazon too. I wouldn't mind that though. But she stay looking good. But no, she ain't gonna be that.
Oh no. Oh, okay. Well, I see how everyone feel about this, so we're just gonna hop on next because y'all be disrespectful.
Disrespectful.
Disrespectful. So speaking of with this, especially since we were talking about the Fox bio earlier for Avengers and everything else, it has now officially been delayed because Comcast actually bought out Sky Media. They won the bid for Sky Media in the UK. Now, this doesn't necessarily kill the buyout or the acquisition. It actually is just going to slow down the process, because if Disney was able to purchase Sky Media in the UK, that would have given them shares not Skynet, Sky Media, but this would have given them controlling shares of Fox's side there in the UK. And this would have helped to speed up the acquisition, which would have brought down the acquisition time to about 12 months. But since Disney lost out the bid to Comcast to buy Sky Media, it's actually going to delay the acquisition by up to 18 months now. So it's going to be a year and a half. So instead of December of this year of them being able to finalize it, we may not be able to see the finalization of the acquisition until next summer. So that does just slow down any potential future plans, But with the way Kevin Feige has stated on their plans for the MCU, that they have plans right now if it doesn't go through anyways, and that's what they're going to focus on until they do finalize the acquisition, and then he'll look at involving them in the future. So what are y'all's thoughts on the delay? Do y'all see this as being a big misstep or being a big hindrance, or are y'all not worried because you know that they'll turn it around whenever they get their hands on it? And
why did Comcast buy Sky P in it first place? Why did they acquire them?
Comcast just pissed because they wanted Fox initially and they couldn't get them.
Yeah.
But the whole Sky thing is like a huge thing in the UK. Like, that's their number one. That's like their Comcast.
Yeah.
So by buying that, you get so many consumers off the bat. Like, you have practically a monopoly there. Instantly.
Yeah. Which is also why a lot of people are looking at the Comcast Sky acquisition now as a bad thing, because with Comcast already trying to get majority shares of controlling media and internet services here in the US, with them controlling the media outlets there by purchasing Sky, that gives them a control over a lot of what information gets out, with the way that Comcast has been handling information lately. So it does bring up a lot of privacy and issues in that regards. However, it is more, as they put it, it was more of a petty thing, since they weren't able to acquire and put in the bid for Fox Media because they had nowhere near the kind of cash flow that Disney has. They were trying to slow down the process.
Mm-hmm. And millions of nerds everywhere had a heart attack when they heard the news.
Oh, man.
I don't think it's that big of a deal. We're gonna see the characters eventually. Just gotta wait.
Anyways, shout out to Jago for dropping by in the chat.
Jago,
yes sir.
Jago Kukin.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just you know, people gotta make their money too. Disney over here trying to be a monopoly, and nobody worry about that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. At the end of the day, like, Sky was like a huge thing. Like, that's the number one thing Disney honestly wanted from this acquisition.
Yeah, they need them channels, man.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. It is what it is.
Yeah, it's definitely that sucks that I've slowed down. Actually, I called myself earlier. I called Sky P by accident. I
was about to say, I've almost called Sky P because I'm watching One Piece again. You can tell what arc I'm on.
Yeah. I don't really see a big issue with the slowdown of the acquisition. You know,
it's not an issue, bro.
Yeah, because I mean, it's gonna happen. It's just gonna take a lot longer. But like Kevin Feige has talked about in the past, they have a plan on what they're gonna do one way or the other. That you know, what they have planned out, because they had the same thing going on when they weren't even sure if the deal was gonna go through for getting Spider-Man into the MCU for Civil War and being able to do Homecoming, because of the issues that the lady who oversees all that, the way that she reacted with when Kevin Feige approached her about, hey, I want to bring Spider-Man over, and they basically was a little bit of a hissy fit and throwing sandwiches and shit.
Oh, yeah, wasn't that the lady that was like throwing shit?
Yeah, she threw a sandwich at him because they went and got sandwiches, and when he asked her, she's like, fuck that shit, and threw it at him.
Mm-hmm. The karma that came back.
Yep. But
the amazing Spider-Man flop.
Yep. But I mean, like I said, they have a plan for it. Like, Kevin Feige is a king, is a nerd at heart, and holds the Bible of comics and doing characters right, or if they're changing them up, doing them in a well way that's well represented to the comics, as well as putting them in a new light. He's had plans made out for if certain things didn't work, as he's talked about in interviews from the past and current, that they've made plans for any sort of contingency had things not worked out or happened before. So I don't see this being a big hindrance. They're going to keep working on the Marvel Universe and what they have right now with the MCU. Once they finalize and get everything working with them, they'll start planning out, okay, now we can incorporate these characters and have access to this. Let's rework this here and bring it this way, and we'll be able to start working on these movies with Fox here, here, and here. So, I mean, it's one of those things that I don't think it's going to be a real big issue. They definitely know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, this shit happens. We had to expect that there could be delays. It's a huge acquisition nonetheless. Like, it can't come instantly. It doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah, I'm saying, you think people are going to willingly let Disney just buy everything?
Yeah.
Exactly. But I mean, they knew what they were trying to do, because the reason Disney was trying to get that acquisition of Sky was it would just help expedite the acquisition into to a 12-month process instead of an 18-month process.
Yeah, that, and they have a huge business under their belt in the UK. Like, they have a dominance in the UK instantly.
Yeah, because they noticed that cable was fucking flopping. Yep. They got to do something.
Yeah. Anyways,
I'm trying to figure out why Disney bid more for some Sky. I don't know. I'm going to call Sky Peter for now, and I don't care anymore.
For Sky.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, the amount of money they put forward was just ridiculous as it is.
I think they just didn't see the value, because either way, they still see, like, all right, why throw extra money? Are we going to get it in like six extra months? There's no point in kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll get out and catch up at some point or another, man. It really is one of those things that will go through.
Yeah. What's our next topic?
Yeah. So the next thing that we have here is actually everyone's impression of the new hero, My Hero Academia game, Justice for All.
Oh, hell no, that's trash.
Dude. I'm gonna say this. I think a lot of people are gonna they're gonna buy it, they're gonna try it out. A lot of people are gonna enjoy it, but it's basically a reskin of that One Piece game.
Basically. Burning Blood? Which one?
Yeah, Burning Blood.
Oh god, no. I already thought it looked like trash, and I don't even know it's trash.
Go ahead.
I'm saying they're trying to make this arena a fighter. They're trying to capture the same thing like Naruto Storm did, uh-huh. Ultimate Ninja Storm. But
yep.
I don't see it working out just by the way it look. Cause one, you see Deku and everybody running on walls and shit without like explaining it. It looks weird. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, to me I watched the trailer and I did a reaction on my channel, and I was hyped at first because, you know, it's My Hero, but my concern right now is Bandai Namco, they're doing this terrible trend of taking popular huge anime right now and then making video games out of them when nobody asked for it. Yep. I think it's too soon. Like, My Justice for All, that's cool or not, but we don't even know a whole lot. We don't have a whole lot of backstory of even Deku at this point or any of the other characters to like know the full extent of their abilities. So it seems like it's just like too soon for this game to come out. And then they're also doing Black Clover, same thing. And Seven Deadly Sins. Like, those are three games that nobody has asked for. Like, why do we need these games? So to me, like, I'm probably going to cop it just because I want to, and I'm very interested in that. But man, like, I have my reservations about it just because they seem to just be hopping on this. Hey, popular anime, let's make a game about it.
I'm buying that game, but it's going to be trash. Next topic.
Even Super Cheese, like, I'm only buying it because I love My Hero.
I mean, for real. I mean, that's it. Yep.
But here's the thing is I'm looking forward to it because I do like fighting games. And My Hero, the way that Quirks and the powers and everyone works in that, it's perfect for an arena fight. It really.
Everybody gonna play the same though in that game, man. Come on.
We have to see more out of it.
You were the dude making fun of Naruto Storm
and the roster, bro.
Wait, what?
Weren't you making fun of the Naruto Storm games in Xenoverse?
No, I didn't like Xenoverse because I hate the way that it plays out. I don't like the way Xenoverse. Because I played Budokai Tenkaichi. I played the better Dragon Ball games. Xenoverse, I didn't like the way that it worked. Nah, I get Xenoverse the RPG, I get the RPG aspects, but it does not work for me. I don't like it.
One Justice or whatever that game is called. I just see you just pushing square the entire time.
One Justice was only on the 3DS.
That's the same thing.
I don't know.
Man, that used to be trash,
the design they went for, it's like a terrible, like cell shaded, like t- type of graphic. It looks weird.
It's comic-y. That's the way that it's supposed to be, man.
Nah, man, the game looks terrible.
And the roster.
It looks terrible.
All to do with this, make it look like Naruto Ultimate Ninja Storm. It would have been perfect. It looked good. But they wanted to try something new, and now they... Oh, that's terrible, bro.
Yeah, and that's the way Namco does it, dude. Bandai does that shit with a lot of things. They'll try one thing and then go back to another in every game they do. Remember that not all of it is directly on them, because a lot of it is coming from Namco because they own the merchandising rights for most anime.
Namco just likes to make shit that nobody asked for or take out shit that everybody loves.
That's why I don't care for the Seven Deadly Sins game. While I like Seven Deadly Sins and find it awesome, the fighter that they made really is
Dookie.
Ass.
Micro's gonna be the same shit.
And then Black Clover's gonna be the same. It's all gonna be that's what I'm saying, bro. Like the demon stuff, like, oh man, popular anime, let's put this game out. People will buy it.
But some of the games get better over time. It just does not take
a that's a K-Men defense.
Because they did the same thing with Budokai and all the old Dragon Ball games. They got better over time. The first one, if you go back and play Budokai 1, it is not that great.
Dope.
But they progressed it over time.
I think that game is about to spoil every move set that we about to see from these new characters. They about to spoil.
They're gonna be showing you moves they haven't done yet, bro.
They're gonna be showing you straight second, bro.
Oh man,
they have moves for Shanks that we've never even seen yet. And I was like, what is this? And I know they about to go and do the same thing for My Hero, but actually take from the comics, the manga, I'm sorry, and try to make it more authentic.
Man, hold on, I need the floor for a second. Bloody Nugget's trying to use that K-Mega defense. You know, the first episode of BGST wasn't good. The first episode of BGST wasn't good.
Really? No, really? You gonna play that route? You gonna throw shade at other stuff? Man, come on now. We better than that.
Come on, man. Okay, that's what?
I'm just saying, bro.
Oh, no.
You sound like a real hater, Knuckles, when it comes to Xenoverse, and everybody else is right. Except for you on this My Hero game, bro.
Nick.
I can't have my own opinion. That was going to. Oh, okay. I see how it is now. Okay. I see the way it's turning out. So we turn it.
If you hate Xenoverse, you gotta hate all. You gotta hate all games like that, man. You gotta hate them all.
I just don't think that it doesn't work for Xenoverse. Here's the thing about Xenoverse, and I'm about to mute everyone if y'all don't let me fucking talk on this right now. Xenoverse was bad because of the fact that all they did was they took the same four story arcs that we've seen across seven other goddamn games and said, here, you can create a character, just add random shit from any other character in the goddamn universe. You want to play that game? No, because it doesn't do anything fucking unique.
That Dragon Ball Fighter Z story is trash, but the multiplayer is fun.
Bro, if I can say something real quick, y'all.
The story may have been trash, but they did something unique. They tried to do their own thing.
Trash is trash. I don't care if it's unique.
I don't care. But they tried to do something that hasn't been done.
What are you trying to say? Are you trying to say that My Hero Academia, this new game coming out, Justice for All is going to be unique trash?
That's all he's trying to say. I'm trying to make a valid point. Everyone's just hating to hate. We done with the topic. God damn it.
Okay. I know we're a little tense here, but we actually have some late-breaking news. And Bloody Knuckles, you should take that.
Yeah. So right now there just came out a report that Vern Troyer, Vern Troyer, also known as Mini-Me from Austin Powers, actually had passed away. But apparently he passed away. That was confirmed earlier today that he passed away early this morning. And that actually sucks because Vern Troyer is actually a really cool dude who's done a lot of things. He did a lot of stuff on YouTube. Dang. He was very active on Reddit and talking about all things, you know, movies. He was even on some gaming subreddits as well as some anime. Like, dude was something interesting, and apparently it was due to suicide. actually.
What?
Yeah. So it's sad to hear that when you think about this, because we've seen lately that depression and suicide is something that's very prevalent, especially in Hollywood and a lot of industries, even the music industry. We saw it, you know, just about a couple months ago, back in, what was it, December, November, with what happened to Chester Bennefield from Linkin Park. And to hear this kind of news about another really big prevalent star and something really kind of shows the effect that sometimes this life has on people, man. It really sucks, because I grew up with the Austin Powers movies, and I saw a lot of what Vernon Troyer posted up on Reddit a lot. Like, dude was a real cool dude. So it sucks.
He was Grip Hook on Harry Potter too. Don't forget that, bro.